it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's go to Jared Whateley in Melbourne.
Oh, he loves it. No, he loves what we talk about on hold. He loves listening to the dribble
he'll
that
be
we
agreeing,
go on with.
He'll be agreeing with a couple of our text line operatives. You can jam that song in regards to Vosioki. That was delivered by 397. And Vosioki, WTF. But Jared, as we say goodbye to Jason Demetriou at South Sydney, where do you sit in terms of making the coach the fall guy? And are there coaches under pressure in the AFL at the moment?
Lads, it's early in the season, isn't it? He's been gone for weeks listening into the way that the rugby league has been covering this and to your conversations. So sometimes you wonder why clubs take their coaches into a fresh season if they have so little faith in them. So it doesn't really matter whether you believe that the coach should be the fall guy or not. That is conventional wisdom right across the sporting world, is you can't tip out a list of players no matter the sport. So it's always the coach that gets it in the neck as you search for a change of fortune or search for a change of dynamic, strategy, direction, call it whatever you like. So The convention in the AFL right now is to extend coaches' contracts before they reach the last year to provide a sense of security, because it's the creeping doubt, it's the undermining that can almost become self-fulfilling. So clubs are now more prepared to pay out an additional year of a contract if the sacking becomes inevitable than have the coach at the end of the plank with the blade between the shoulders, because it can self-combust. So it's a really interesting phase that the AFL has opted for, as boards think, create stability, see if that brings success, because any cracks will inevitably provide the opposite.
What a business model. What a business model. Like coaching full stop, and it is right across all the football codes, because it'll be interesting now for someone, maybe one of our great faithful people tuned in, can come in. What is the tally of sackings across the football codes? Now, you can't include rugby because they don't have the volume of teams that the A-League, the AFL and the NRL. Can we just have a look at the stats from, the last, how far back should we go, Jared? 5-10 years, and look at what are the numbers? Because between A-League, who's winning? I wouldn't even know who would win. Who do you think's winning? A-League, AFL, NRL?
So there's an international study that shows the longest tenure in the coaching profession is in the AFL world. The longest tenure.
You're the outsiders then.
Yeah, so we're the outlier. The A-League had a sacking in the first two or three weeks.
Yeah,
didn't
A-League.
My
suspicion is their
A-League wins.
Yeah, that's the culture of soccer, isn't it? It doesn't matter.
Steve Corica, 3 weeks, Jared. Steve Corica, 3 weeks in the net.
Just tip the coach out as soon as there's you're not achieving what you expected to do. So I think that's ingrained culturally. I doubt that that's good business practice, but that's just what happens. My intuition would say that your NRL would probably eclipse the AFL on that front.
And then I want to study on in terms of how much success the clubs have when they make that change and in what period of time. But let's leave that one there. But we're a long way from Anzac Day and your draw, Jared. But where did the league land on the suggestions from the evil northern states that, hey, we've got Golden Point up here?
Yeah.
Where did the league land, if in fact it landed one way or the other?
Yeah, so I think if I could run you through it, in the immediate moment that the siren sounded and there was 93,500 people there, I think if you'd straw polled participants and observer alike, we would have played extra time. And then, just as it all settled over the next 48 hours, the charm of the draw took hold And I think if you ran the poll, it would land in favour of the draw. Now, some of this is deprivation. I suspect the next 10 minutes of Anzac Day would have been some of the best footy that we'd ever seen in the environment that was there. And now that we do settle finals, and particularly the grand final with 3 minutes either way of extra time, I actually think that's the strongest argument. We're going to get one day to a grand final and have extra time, and players will have never seen it in their lives. So normalising it and strategising around it, observing it, playing in it, I think is very useful from that point of view. But we are stuck in an old world charm that that people are incredibly reluctant to let go of, and in fact it is sacrilege to even raise the logic of playing extra time. Is you stick your head above that parapet that doesn't last very long.
Just always be careful what you wish for, though. I have no problem with you sticking with a draw, by the way, Jared, as an independent observer. Now, we are also standing by Blake Solly due to hold a press conference at Efron Park, the South Sydney Centre of Excellence, shortly. But Jared, need to talk a bit of cricket, the World Cup squad. There's a whole lot of strands here. Steve Smith, do you support that? No, Steve Smith. Jake Fraser-McGurk overlooked, do you support that? Dave Warner has a spot, do you support that? Where are you sitting on those topics?
It's a midday announcement, Vossie, and Jake Fraser-McGurk will not be part of it, and I will forever believe that that's a mistake. Australia has this incredible discovered asset in the biggest tournament in the world. And it's only happened in the past couple of weeks. But he is a weapon that I suspect no other team in the world has. And you just never know what that will look like in a World Cup. There should be room in a squad of 15. But this is long-term planning that Australia won't deviate from. So sometimes I think it's an incredible lack of imagination. But maybe imagination is the disqualifier to becoming a selector. As cricket values stability, records and long-term planning. And that's what we're seeing here. This is an incredibly familiar team. It doesn't deviate terribly much from the team that won the World Cup in 2021 and then missed the semi-finals in 2022. It really lacks for youth, and that's where the excitement of Fraser-McGurk might have come through. So while we've all had our hair blown back, the selectors are going to resist that and stick with their plan. Steve Smith is no longer an international T20 cricketer. The fact that he's doing commentary at the IPL rather than playing gives you that answer. So while he was an important part of the 50-over World Cup to be that heavy-duty batter, that's not what T20 cricket is now. So that's the right call. Is Dave Warner, this is the end point, forecast a long way out. We will judge in hindsight whether this has been an indulgence that has simply run too long or whether he's got one great tournament left in him. But yeah, if it was my choice, I would be opening the batting with Travis Head and Jake Fraser-McGurk, which could be anything. And I think that will be the long term. That's going to be the future of Australian cricket. There's a few of us who think that's the now, but it's going to remain the future.
Jared, your SEN cricket commentating colleague, Bharat Sundaresan, agrees wholeheartedly regarding Jake Fraser-McGurk, saying he is the now, not the future. He should be in the squad today, but he won't be, as you heard Jared report right there. Very quickly, Jared, we've been led into a multi by Andrew Voss this morning involving all the Sydney teams. And by the Sydney teams in the AFL, he means Sydney Swans, not Giants. So one word or very short, who wins, Swans or Giants?
I have a slight leaning to the Giants, but I am absolutely sympathetic to Vossi's view that this is the grand final preview, as these are two heavyweights, and everyone will be watching in.
Yeah, you got some smart listeners yourself, Jared, on the program yesterday, didn't they? That someone came up with the tussle of the tunnels rather than the battle of the bridge. Because that is so true getting around Sydney now. You're headed in tunnels. You're not going over the bridge. I don't know what bridge they're battling for. So, no, it's a tussle of the tunnels up here. Jared, thanks for coming on the program. We've got so much happening. You know, you've been there. Press conferences, 8:15. We're going to cross out to South Sydney. Have a great day.
Good on you, Jared.
You too. There's much to debate, isn't there?
Always is. Always is. How good is it? We get to work in sport right here on the Sporting Network, Sports Entertainment Network, SEN 1170. If you want to listen to Jared, get hold of the app. And we're powered by Kubota, the lawnmowers, the tractors, the Land Pride attachments. You don't get any better.